You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't forget to download the Browns official mobile app in the Apple or Android stores, and you can stay connected to your Browns anytime and everywhere. All the latest articles, the latest Cleveland Browns dailies, everything you need at your fingertips. You can actually stream the show live right there at the app, and it'll bark with you when it's got an update for you, which is a fun feature as well. Let's go to the phones, 216-578-0850. Richard in Phoenix. Richard, I want to be in Phoenix.
Hello. Well, that's a great day. Beautiful, about 80 degrees.
I bet it is.
Here's a different take from my perspective on things. So let me disagree with you all, and I'd start with the evaluation of last year's draft, and I think much less of it than a B+, and I'll tell you why. I would say that in any draft, you should give it 3 years before you really give it
a
grade. But at this point, I think midterm grades can be in a couple of different respects. First, when we hear that the Browns did not talk to due diligence on people that are closely connected to Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, I changed my grade in the first round from an incomplete to maybe an I, but for incompetent. Because there's too much money and the value of a first-round draft pick is way too important to leave to chance. That's one thing.
And let me just correct that perception. They did their due diligence. There is a lot of work that goes into these things. A lot of people are spoken to. A lot of evaluations are taken. There was a lot of due diligence done, and they had reason to believe that some of the things that they found that were not, you know, necessarily the most flattering were going to be able to be corrected in the NFL. Obviously, it hasn't worked out that way thus far, but there was, make no mistake about it, there was due diligence done.
I would make two quick points. I heard it directly from the Fish yesterday, from Jimmy Haslam.
And they also sent out a comment after that basically said, you know, that's not
now,
exactly
it,
what
this
was.
This was supposedly him being paraphrased, and he said that some of us did not know about some of the problems, which I am not a fan of TMZ and gossip, trash TV. I've heard the stories since the season ended that his father had to discipline him for drinking alcohol.
In the Wright Thompson. Yep.
Now, on with the rest of the draft, here's why I don't think so much of the job that Ray Farmer has done, and I think he deserves another shot. Matt, you frequently talked about, and play this back, this is accurate, where you say the Browns did well, and from rounds 4 through 7, they didn't have a 5th, 6th, or 7th pick. Now, they actually traded up to get Terrence West, and here's how you have to grade this. They were able to sign a undrafted free agent in Crowell, who did better. They also made the running back from Texas, Ben Tate.
Yep.
He was cited as a jewel in free agency. He couldn't make it through the season. So if they did such a good job, you would not have left Crowell to free agency. You would have taken him either lower or would have taken him above West. So you can't just take a look at where you might get lucky in free agency, because if you sign enough undrafted rookie free agents, you're going to hit on something, at least someone that can contribute on special teams. So they also signed Paul McQuiston, who was supposed to be a stabilizing and backup force on the offensive line. If you were to package McQuiston and Ben Tate tomorrow, offer them to anybody in the league, what round draft pick do you think you could get for them?
7th.
I wouldn't give them anything, because McQuiston's going to get cut, and Tate has been. So you have to look at this.
7th. I went with the lowest round possible.
You have to look at this in total balance. So besides the fact that I would give any draft an incomplete before 3 years, my interim grade, I would break it down by round. In round 1, an F. Round 2, an A. Round 3, a B. Round 4, a C-.
You don't like Dazier?
Well, in 4, this is another thing. Now, he shows good potential, and the Browns said that they expected him to have a redshirt year. Well, this is another case of getting lucky. And I think
Dazeera, I don't think that's getting lucky. I think that's a case of great scouting to find a guy like Pierre Desir at Lindenwood. I'm sorry, I don't think that's getting lucky. That's tremendous scouting. And Matt, you made a good point about undrafted free agents. You have to recruit them. They can sign anywhere. So the Browns not only recruited, they not only identified, then successfully recruited, and got great production out of some of these undrafted free agents. So when you scout at a place like Lindenwood and you find a gem like Pierre Desir, that's not luck. That's good scouting.
No, it's not. And again, it's also, too, you have the wherewithal to dig through the clutter to find those diamonds in the rough, you know, and also, too, the assets by your general manager and your owner for you to scout, you know, as far and as wide as you need to find something that will add to the value of this organization. And they did so in Pierre Desir. And to the point that you made about my comment, when someone goes undrafted, of course, and having been very close friends with multiple undrafted free agents, Antonio Gates, who turned out pretty well, Chris Dielman, went to 4 or 5 Pro Bowls, a great friend that I've mentioned on the show before, Stephen Cooper, he called in for my birthday, Steve Gregory. All these guys have played 7-plus years in the National Football League, have secured significant paydays on multiple contracts, especially that second contract where you really want to capitalize. They don't want to be drafted late in the 7th round because they're pigeonholed to one team where they're already going to be up against significant odds to make that roster, as opposed what they'd want to do is strategically choose where they want to go based on the depth at the position that they're playing and have an opportunity to make the club and then have an opportunity to play early at a significant lowered rate of rookie minimum salary, no bonus or $20,000 in bonus, which, you know, teams is chump change. But it gets these guys off the ground and gives them hope instead of being pigeonholed and up against all odds. I've seen in my 8 years, I've seen more 7th-round draft picks not make the team than make a team. Yeah. And I've seen more undrafted free agents make a team than not make a team and get cut simply off of one training camp because they put themselves strategically in a great opportunity to succeed. And also, too, is there is a recruitment process. Ray Farmer and his staff had to show interest in Isaiah Crowell and maybe, in some cases, sold him a dream about taking him late in the draft and coming here to Cleveland. But the Cleveland Browns had to be enticing enough and as a sexy enough situation for Isaiah Crowell to want to come be here and secure an opportunity for his NFL career here in Cleveland and not somewhere else.
And I want to point one other thing out to Richard in Phoenix as well, to give the first round an F. You're forgetting that you added a first round pick as well.
Which is yet to be determined.
Which is yet to be determined in this year's draft. Let's go to John in Menor. John, welcome to CBD.
Hello.
John, how are you?
A couple quick thoughts. Just hope that they address the wide receiver, whether in free agency or early in the draft.
Or both.
The old administration with Holmgren, they never put a big weigh-in on the wide receivers, and that hurt us with Rubisky and Massaquai. As far as the draft goes, do you guys see them getting any compensatory picks with maybe having let go DeQuell Jackson? I don't know how that really works, but...
No, but if you replace it the same position, you don't get it. So, like, for example, DeQuell Jackson left and you signed Dansby. T.J. Ward left and you signed
Dante Whitner.
So you're not going to get him in that regard. Now, this year, you are going to get that, in my opinion. You're going to get that because, you know, potentially, we don't know who's going to come back, but the guys that are out there that could potentially end up somewhere else, you know, a Jordan Cameron would bring a compensatory pick if you didn't sign another tight end. A Taba Rubin, you know, Jabal Sheard, Buster Screen. Now, hopefully some of those guys will be back, but if they're not, that's where you'll pick up some compensatory picks, and that's what a lot of teams do. New England does that all the time. They don't, if they let their guys walk, they get compensatory picks. Baltimore does that all the time. They always have compensatory picks.
Yeah,
so that
seems like
is another strategy. Good teams do
like
it.
The good teams get richer, you know, with those compensatory picks,
yes,
especially in the third round. But as far as quarterback goes, I don't know why everyone's so down on either Sanchez or Locker or even tried getting Glennon. I mean, those guys, you know, were successful. They did show, you know, signs of being a good quarterback. So I wouldn't be so low on them. But, hey, love the show, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Thank you,
John,
very much. And again,
I agree. Sanchez, Locker, talent there, first-round talents.
I do, too. It's going to be funny how things work themselves out. We don't know essentially how Philly feels about either Nick Foles or Sanchez, and if in fact Philly's going to make that play to move up significantly to go get Mariota. So there may be an opportunity to never touch Sanchez, and Foles may not be available in trade, and they'll roll with those two, you know, on decent deals moving forward to be the quarterbacks there in Philly. But I think ultimately Chip Kelly wants a little bit more control, and he's kind of assuming and taking those guys in stride. But, you know, Mallett may not be available re-signing there in Texas with the Texans because Bill O'Brien has said competition is going to be thriving there at the quarterback position.
When we come back, we'll wrap things up with a little fact or fiction here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.